The Chovis Avodis in Perik Dalet in Nishar Betochen points out, and more than just points out, but actually he warns. Chovis Avodis there warns a person against crediting his own success, he says, to one's own efforts. Meaning believing that using a particular means or particular method will always yield good results. The Chovis Avodis points out that because without Hashem's help, he says, it'll come to nothing. And therefore Chovis Avodis really actually emphasizes that a person should not ever become overly enthusiastic and constantly resort, he said, to a particular means in the belief that this must bring him success. Many times people really put all their money on one situation, having such confidence that this definitely will yield results. Chovis Avodis very strongly warns against that. The person should not become overly enthusiastic. B'derech klal, a person who has this type of a behavior, in time will only turn his heart, he says, towards his own efforts, and weaken his bitochen in Hashem. So Chovis Avodis therefore underscores that a person rather should surmise that all his success is really due to Hashem's favor. And this is based on a principle that we had many times, that b'derech klal, of course, a person has to do his ishtadlus, Hashem wants you to work for a living. But you have to realize that the bottom line is that Hashem has a hand in what everything we do. So he points out that a person really deduces from that when you choose, let's say, through natural means, you choose a particular way, and you feel that this is going to be a means that's going to be successful to you, to understand that the reason that you chose it is because it was Hashem's desire to lead you and to point you in that direction, to make these cheshbonos, to make all these calculations, that this is going to be good for me. This is the belief that a person should have. So when a person makes, which he at first glance makes him think, or it appears that it was his own intellectual calculation regarding a particular situation, but then there are the people who also could disagree with that. The fact that you have decided this way, and it turns out to be successful, as a matter of fact, it was Hashem's desire that you in fact should make this calculation. So Chovis Avodis basically comes to emphasize that a person should never really come to a point to conclude that his success is due to his efforts alone. But understand that in fact, that whatever it is, it's really, without Hashem's help, nothing could have happened. Mitzad Hasheni, on the other hand, Hashem of course desires that a person, right, attains his goal through any type of means that could be. And a person who believes this is a person who is devoted to Hashem. Betochen means a person is connected, and therefore he is devoted to Hashem, and that's what is the strength of his emunah. Now, let's point out like this. It's very pashut to things, but we don't realize it. And if we just point it out, you'll see that pashut in many aspects in the Torah, we find many biblical stories that demonstrate how people's own efforts to attain particular goals, sometimes they actually backfire, just the opposite. And even by great people. Let's take example number one. Example number one, we find that Yosef's brothers, they sold him to Mitzrayim, right? What was the purpose? They sold him to Mitzrayim to humble him, because he had these dreams of grandeur, right, of all of them coming down to bow down to him. So they decide, well, the extreme opposite of that is they're selling him to Mitzrayim in order to humble him. What happened, in fact, was the opposite. The opposite occurs, and he rises to power. Dafke, because they had sold him there to Mitzrayim, and he turns out, in fact, to be a Sheni Lamelech. It goes further than that. We find that Paro intended to decrease the Jewish people's population by working them hard, tichbad huavoido, by making them work extra hard, and thereby hoping that somehow this will decrease their population. Lamaisa, again, the opposite was true. Torah says clearly in Parashat Shmos, v'kasher ya'anu oisoi, ken yirbe v'chen yifroitz, which means to say is that the more that they were oppressed, the more they increased and they spread out. So here again, you have logical plans. You go this way, you'll take this route, we'll do this and this, that you hope that these are going to be the goals, and maybe logically this would be the situation. But yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans it differently, and certainly we see that the opposite was true. We see further again, if Pari makes the Gzera, Pari makes the decree to cast the babies into the Nile River, that in fact could not have backfired more than it did, because it was that Gzera Davke that led to Moshe Rabbeinu being brought into the palace. And therefore he was groomed for his role as being the one who in fact was the Goel Yisrael who redeemed Klal Yisrael. So it means like this. Pari makes the Gzera that all the Jewish baby boy be thrown to the river, because his astrologers told him that there's going to be born a leader who is going to deliver them out of the hands of Mitzrayim. So he tries to preempt this. So not only didn't work, but he himself, through this Gzera, through his decree, it turns out that he himself, that the Jewish Redeemer that he was worried about, actually grew up in the palace, and he himself was the one who groomed him, he was the one who raised him. So the Pa'ula, or the Sibah, the cause that he thought would be the root of destruction, turned out, in fact, that itself turned out to enhance, in fact, is the success, and of course, the glory and the role of Moshe Rabbeinu. If we go further, we take a look, we can jump ahead a little bit, then we find that Balak. We find that Balak summons Bilam, in other words, to curse the Jewish people. This led to actually what happened, that Bilam, he blesses them, he benches them. His kavana was to curse them. Davke, because he wanted to curse them, what turned around that, in fact, that he gave them all the brachas that he gave. We find, going later into history, we find with Haman, of course, the story of Purim. Haman builds a gallows for Mordechai at Tzaddik, right? This only caused Haman great shame, as we know, as he had to parade Mordechai on a horse through the streets of Shushan, and in the end, it was Haman himself who was hanged on those very, very gallows. So this is what we find out, as we see again, that we do our shtadlus, we do things many, many times, and many things that appear to be logically really sane, it is something we should do, but at the end of the day, we really see that what turns out, the consequences are what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants it to happen. And in fact, if we hope to be successful in whatever we do, we have to understand this should be really a synthesis of trust and effort. That's really the Derech HaTorah, that's the Shkof HaGaway, the Shkof HaVeyid. Always have this combination. Combination means a synthesis of emuna, of trust, and effort, and that is what leads to success. It's very interesting, when it came to the shidduch, famous shidduch, of course, was Yitzchak and Rivka, what do we find? We find that before resorting, actually, to his own resources, Eliezer actually is mispalel. He davens. And what does he say? He says, Hashem Elikai Adoni Avram Hakre Nolafona. He says, Hashem, 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 that you are the Hashem of my master Avram, grant me, he says, good fortune. He said, Hayoy Mazeh, this day. Eliezer Mispal, that it should be Matzliach on this day, and please deal graciously, right? It should be deal graciously with my master Avram. Eliezer very clearly understood. Eliezer understood that without Hashem's help, that his own efforts would fail. And we see that he makes this tefillah. And he makes it a few times. We find that the union of tefillah in this situation, in this mission of finding a shidduch for Rivka. And he understands that if he's going to be mispalel and places trust in Hashem, then in fact, that Hashem would provide the appropriate means. And the interesting that his great trust in Hashem becomes all the more evident by the fact that when Mispali says to Hashem that send the woman this day. Now this day is sort of like very like limiting it, like sort of pigeonhole. I want it this day. That shows the great amunah that he had. The amunah that he had is not only will it be successful time, days, weeks, months, but in fact he said the end of this day. And not only that, the Brisker Rav makes a very interesting observation. Rav Elva Brisker observes and says that despite the fact, when did he arrive? Lez arrives. First of all, he arrives al Pines, Hayim Yitzosi v'Hayim Bosi at Kitzis Aderech, right, that the a trip of many, many days was shortened, and he arrived the same day that he left. V'ovoi Hayim Aloi, and I come to the well. Which means that Hayim Yitzosi v'Hayim Bosi, I left today and he arrives today. Brisker Rav points out that we find that actually he arrives shortly before sundown. That's when he arrived. Eliezer arrives shortly before sundown at evening time. That's the time when the women come out to draw water. Right? At the time when they come to draw water. When was that? That was in the evening, before sundown. How much time is still left till sundown, till the end of the day? Nevertheless, so you have whatever, a few minutes left, whatever that was. He's mispalel and trust in Hashem and pray that this day, he says, within a few minutes Hashem would fulfill his wish. And so it was. Rivka comes, and she was the one that in fact turns out to be the wife for Yitzchak. Here again, as the Briskrov points out, that the Muna and the trust in Hashem, we see right away, starting already from Eliezer, and we see how the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not limited to any time or any situation. And we find, immediately right after that, we find Eliezer thanks Hashem immediately upon receiving such favor. We learn the Emunah beforehand, the trust, the tefillah, that is the Seder, and once we see the Yeshua is already here, we find that immediately he thanks Hashem. It's another very fascinating thing. You realize that Eliezer was speaking to the father of Rivka and to the brother of Rivka, to Besuel, who was the father, and to Lavan, who was the brother. Now they were non-believers. Matter of fact, they were idol worshippers. Yet Hashem's name was constantly, very ironically and interesting, to whom is he talking to? He's talking to idol worshippers. And Eliezer's constantly made sure that Hashem's name was on his lips as he told the purpose of his mission, why he came here. And he pointed out, he's speaking to them, he said, Hashem, who is the Lekai Avram, right, who is the Lord of my master, and so on and so forth. He keeps mentioning Hashem's name. So he's speaking, again, as though they would be believers and God-fearing people. It's as if they were, but yet they weren't. That they were non-believers. Guess what happened? This expression, continuously mentioning Hashem's name, in the face and in the eyes of non-believers, it finally made an impact on them. You know what happened when they agreed to the Shidduch? You know what they said? Mashem Yotza Dover. Maybe the first time they ever mentioned Hashem's name. Very fascinating thing. Mashem Yotza Dover, which means that they understood and they mentioned that this was decreed by Hashem, and therefore he said, of course, we're going to go along with it. We're going to see Rabbi Isai regarding when we talk about Bitochen here. We started always with a little bit of the sheet, some insights. It's a short sheet. we're going to have a shtickle of Chazanish over there. And just want to mention regarding the Chazanish. The Stipler, as you know, was a brother-in-law of the Chazanish. The Stipler had married the Chazanish's sister. And the Stipler was no slouch in his own right. We know them Godel Miyoid, everybody knows that. In Goynis and in Tzidkis as well, in both situations. He was discussing Dvar Torah with his brother-in-law many, many times. He brings in the Svarim, the Sefer Kilus Yankov. He quite often brings the very pilpul, his discussions of Torah with his brother-in-law, the Chazon Ish. But he always defers to the Chazon Ish. If there's any disagreement, he always defers to him. There was a particular pair once with a discussion face-to-face with the Chazon Ish. And he mentioned the Chassam Sofer. The Stipler mentioned the Chassam Sofer. And the Chazon Ish says, there is no such Chassam Sofer. The Stipler all of a sudden says, I have to go back home, he says, get rid of my Chassam Sofer. My Chassam Sofer must be forged, because my Chassam Sofer is there. Didn't occur to him for one moment that the Stipler made a mistake, and maybe he didn't, that the Chazon Ish made a mistake and did not realize that in fact there was such a Chassam Sofer. Chazon Ish said there's no such Chassam Sofer. He had no doubt the Chazon Ish has to be right, but as a matter of fact, he did bring the Chassam Sofer to the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish, on the other hand, did not believe it was forged, and he deferred to the Stipler. He said, no, there is such a Chassam Sofer. He says he was not aware of it, but the Stipler on his own was ready, he says, to get rid of this Chassam Sofer. That's the tremendous emunas chachomim. We talk about aminu b'Hashem b'moyshe avdo, emunah nakosh baruchu, at the same time emunah in gedoy leYisrael, tremendous emunah. Just a similar situation. There was a periodical printed in 1943. It's called Knesset Yisrael. Choshev Talmid Chachomim writes chidush Torah, divrei Torah into that part, to that periodical called Knesset Yisrael, and Rav Shach himself used to write there as well. And he once said a tremendous chiddush. You know, on Yontif, especially at the time when there was a Beis Hamikdash, then there's no question that, you know, in Simcha Elul B'Bosor, there's a mitzvah on Yontif that you have to eat, both have to eat meat, and yayin, drink yayin, both of yayin, in Simcha Elul B'Bosor of yayin. But the meat that, in fact, that you eat is not just regular meat. You take an animal, you shechted meat, but she brought as a korban shlomim, shalmei simcha, it's called. It's called shalmei simcha. trees that you take an animal, you consecrate it, you magdish it as a carbon, it's shechted. Namela, you're eating basar kodesh. And that is how you fulfill the mitzvah of achilas basar yontev, by eating shalmei simcha. By the way, in addition to yontev, you have to bring what's called a carbon chagiga, which is again a sacrificial carbon for the yontev. It's called a carbon chagiga. Shach was machadish achidish, that being that you have to shecht a carbon shlomim to eat meat, the mitzvah is not only the eating, but the shechting is also a mitzvah. In other words, it's being makra the carbon. There's a mitzvah on yontev to sacrifice the carbon, not just the eating. Not just the eating. Now you're not just shechting a korban in order to eat the meat, which is of course the mitzvah, but the actual hakrov, the actual shechting, shalmei simcha, is also a mitzvah. He told it over to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish said, Chaz v'sholem to say that. The Chazon Ish said, we are not able, he says, to be mechadish and innovate, he says, new things on our own, he says, where there is no real source for it, said the Chazon Ish. And someone who, when he shechts that carbon, shlomim, with the intention of being mekayim a mitzvah, of shechting the carbon, is over an isra of bal toisev by adding on to the mitzvah satayr, because there's no such mitzvah. Ad kedei kach, said the Chazon Ish. Rav Shach, as soon as he heard it, he was chayzer immediately. As soon as he heard the Chazon Ish saying there's no such chiddush, he was chayzer. He retracted. No such thing anymore. And by the way, and the discussion is, you can find it in his Sefer Aviezeri, which is one of the famous form of the Rambam that Rav Shach wrote. There is a Sefer called Mishmar HaLevi. Sefer Mishmar HaLevi is written by Choshu Talmud Chochem Nesu and Bnei Brak, Rumoishe Martche Schulzinger. Also very Choshu speaker, tremendous Talmud Chochem, very close to Gedoli Sotter of Chesk Avramsky into the Briskerov. And to Rav Shach, he wrote specific inyonim about Rav Shach, a sefer about Rav Shach. He wrote about the Briskerov, he wrote about Rav Cheskel Avramsky, his own experiences, and also Chidush Torah regarding all these Gedolei Yisrael. So he writes in the sefer, this Rav Schulzinger, I mentioned many, many years ago, I remember as a bochur in yeshiva, there's someone who left New York and went there to Yisrael to study in Yeshiva Slabotke. And he came back after 2 years or so with the tape of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva that they had in Slabotke. In Slobodka, like any other place, it's in West Yeshiva, so they would sing Zemiras and they would dance. Particular minhag there in Slobodka was, as in many other places, that they would sell the kibudim of Shir Hamalis. Different people would sing the various Shir Hamalis in Simchas Beis Yeshiva. They'd go through the Shir Hamalis. But auctioning of the Shir Hamalis was not for money. It was for blood gemara. I remember hearing on the tape, 15 blood gemara, he says, for the first Shir Hamalis. Someone said 20, somebody said 30. Tire mesechte. Somebody else said 2 mesechtes, 3 mesechtes. And then you would hear clearly, Gans Shas, he says, for Shir HaMalas. Gans Shas. This was Schulzinger, I'm mentioning. This was Schulzinger. It was said, this Bocha told me, that there will always be complaints issue. It's not fair. He also had a brother, because it was said that the Schulzinger brothers, they buy up all the Shir HaMalas. So they commit themselves to a lot of learning. So he writes in the Sefer Mishmar Levi, he says, I once asked Rav Shach, he says, what do you mean that you retracted Mimashu Kasafti, that you retracted from what you wrote about it? Rav Shach says, he says, I mean it the way I said it. He says, I really worked very hard on this Chiddush, and my own, he says, in my own investigation, this is my opinion, that's really what the Rambam holds. That the mitzvah is not only to eat the basar of the carbon shlomim, but the actual shechting it and to be sacrificing and being makrav the akrov is also a mitzvah. So he said, but what could I do? He says, the Chazon Ish says, not like that, so bot ladati. So Rav Schulzinger said, and what do you think is going to happen when Mashiach comes? He says, Shibuna Beis Hamikdash, how's it going to turn out then? Rav Shach said, what do you mean? He said, the words of the Chazon Ish, he says, is halacha psukeh, this is the halacha, and whoever thinks otherwise has to change his mind and say it also. Not only think he's changing his mind, but also say it beferish with his mouth to change his mind. This is what happened. It turns out that Rav Schulzinger says that after a while, I came across a Gemara Menachos Daf Tzadik, and there it talks about the korbonos a person must bring. So it mentions the carbon rio, which is the carbon a person brings, you know, when you go up to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring carbon. It says, a person cannot come reikom, but you have to bring a carbon. It also says to bring, it says, the carbon chagiga. It does not say that there's something called a carbon shlomim of shalmei simcha, which would be a riot of the Chazon Ish.
So he's showing it to Rav Shach. He says, can you imagine, instead of being disappointed, there's a Gemara against him. It's with tremendous simcha and glee. He said, this is a riot, Rav Chazonish, he says. He says, mamish. This is a riot. He was happy, he said, that he found the Gemara. Chazonish said it originally. He's very happy that in fact that this is what he found. He's before this way. And he writes, Shulzinger writes, he says, tremendous simcha. It's, you can't imagine, he said, to see the face of Rav Shach, he says, when they brought him a riot against his own chiddush that he worked so hard to be mechadish. But the truth was more important to him. And being that he believed that whatever the Chazon says is the truth, so he found the Gemara against him, that's what made him happy. Found him happy that in fact it was like the Chazon. So it's just very interesting thing is that they showed later on to Rav Shach actually, there's a sefer called Imrei Baruch, and they saw there in this, that the Imrei Baruch is from Rav Baruch Tam, great goyin, with the shver of the Divrei Chaim of Sons many, many years ago, the father of the Sons of Ruv. And he wrote Hagoyis on the Tur Evin, and he writes Beferish like Rav Shach that there is a mitzvah in the Hakrova of Shalmei Simcha. So it's interesting thing is, so being that he found it in the Imrei Baruch, that's the only reason he wrote it in the Sefer. Rav Shach wrote the Chiddush in his Sefer because he found it in the Imrei Baruch. But at the same time, he says the Chazon Ish disagrees with me. He put that in as well. So just very interesting. So now we can see a Shtikl Chazon Ish here on the sheet, Shtikl Hakdoma. And before the Chazon Ish, we have just a few lines of something else. So take a look at this sheet, Rabbi Isai. It's from a sefer called Nesivas Amuna. First of all, there you see some very interesting quotes from Rishonim. Some interesting quotes. One is, first of all, from Rabbeinu Yoinah, that we quote many, many times, and we have learned, of course, Shara Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yoinah, but this is Rabbeinu Yoinah, Brochus Dav Dalet. Rabbeinu Yoinah says, Habitochen, trust in Hashem, who Iker Hayira V'Hamuna. That is really the main of Yerushimayim, the mainstay of Hamuna and belief. This is the ultimate. Is the person to have Hamuna to trust in Hashem? Well, the Fichoch, therefore, says Rabbeinu Yoinah, Zoyche, he says, Bisibosoy Lechaya Oilam Abo. Person who has Bitochen, is Zoyche Techayam Abo to a portion in the world to come. Because Bitochen is something which is so essential. It's not just an admirable or praiseworthy midah, but really is fundamental, and that's the Iker of Yerushimayim and Emunah and Hashem. Then we have another Rabbeinu Yoinah, which is in Mishle. There he says as follows, Lo yegia ha'odom, he says, l'shleimus ha'yiro, a person cannot come to the madrega of shleimus in Yerushimayim, zulosi b'shleimus ha'bitochem. They go hand in hand. You have to have shleimus, you have to try to have perfection in bitochem, trust in Hashem. He says, then you're able to have perfection in Yerushimayim. Ki achrei asher lo yiftach be'odom. Because when you reach a madrega that you're not going to trust human beings, v'lo yiro, and not fear zulosi Hashem is work only Hashem, he says, "V'titabel nafsho ikahakam b'dei shemayim," and accept very clearly that everything is b'dei shemayim. V'ein lo ichelik biatzmoi, v'yekavet tomid el Hashem, and he should always place his hope in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. V'yisa b'chaleis elof, and he should always turn to Hashem and then daven to Hashem. He says, "Me'ela," from this behavior, from all of this, yagi el shleim esayira. But your tainis, you cannot have true Yerushimayim, he says, without again bitochen b'Hashem. And then we find again Rabbeinu Yoinah, also Mishle, where he used the following words, Habitochen min hamadregus wal yoinis, is from the highest levels, asher b'yiras chet, for a person to have true yiras chet, Yerushimayim, fear of sin, and so on, it's connected to Bitochen. Very, very fascinating, you'll see the words of the Gro, the next two lines. The Vilna Goyin says, that Iker Nesinus HaTorah L'Yisrael, we once said it in the Chumash here, actually. Iken is seen as our Torah Lishroel. I ask you, with the purpose of Torah Lishroel, with so many mitzvahs in the Torah. The Goyim wants to point out the Iker Nesinus HaTorah Lishroel. More than anything, the main purpose, if you have to pinpoint the main purpose of Hashem giving the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, who kedei yiseh shiyasimu b'tchoyin ha'bashem. In other words, through living a life of Torah, a person basically refines himself to be able to become a b'teich b'Hashem. It's not an easy situation. But in order to a person to become a true Bater Bashem, you live a life of Torah, v'hu. And what I mean is, l'fishi ikar hakol hu habitochen hasholem v'hu klal kol ha-mitzvahs. And Sof Kol Sof, he says, the bottom line, you take all the mitzvahs, and what's the conclusion? What's the upshot of all the mitzvahs? Is to come really to reach bitochen. So it's a very, very fascinating thing. The tachlis b'chlal of Torah is to refine a person in his emunah to betochim by Hashem, that it really reaches the highest level of that midah, the lat midah of betochim. Which brings us, Rabbi Yisai, to the next inyan, that betochim is something that a person can sometimes fool himself. It's something which in Nekuda we once pointed out from Rav Dessler himself. We had it on the sheet. But here you're going to find out and to see very, very clearly how we can go through life thinking that maybe we are not so worried about things and we talk ourselves into believing that it's because we have Bitochen Bashem. So we find out over here, Rabbi Yisai number 2, Eloi kol b'teyach u'bal b'tochen. Not every bosn who has trust means he's a bal b'tochen. And he points out as follows. Rabbi, he says, Nevuchim, there are many people who are perplexed. V'toyim, and they are mistaken, b'hagdoras mahus midas b'tochen, in understanding exactly what the midah b'tochen is. V'lachein, therefore, he says, terem nevair ma'u b'tochen. Before I tell you what is b'tochen, first let me tell you what it's not. Let me tell you what it's not. Nagdim levoy, let's begin to explain ma'einenu b'tochen. U'mahu b'tochen mizuyefis. What is a counterfeit b'tochen? What is a false b'tochen? And he points out, you see, people who walk freely about themselves, not a worry in the world, he says. They don't seem to be afraid of anything. There are people, this takes place and manifests itself in many different ways. People, worry free. Sometimes it's in the area of panosa, in livelihood. He has no worry. Not worry about his panosa, has no worry about his business. Some people feel a feeling of bitochim b'negel libriyosa, very confident that he's going to stay healthy. He's bitochim. He has bitochim that he's going to stay healthy and so on, b'chiyusoi, and continue to live on. Ulam ho'emis shal piroiv. However, the truth is that in most cases, zeloi noiveya memidis ha'bitochim klal. This does not stem from bitochim. It's not really bitochim. Like a hepech mamish, it's just the opposite. Why? He says, the reason he's worry-free because he's so confident in his own efforts. Somehow, thinking in his mind, things are going good. Why not at the same time attribute it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's going good anyway, right? So it doesn't have much to lose. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu take the credit for it. So he's really b'teyach in his momoim. He's really b'teyach in his pikchus, in his knowledge, in his intellect, b'moin in his money. And what about, why is he so confident about his health? Well, listen, look at the last 5 years of his life, or the last 10 years of life, he had no sickness befall him. So he can reasonably be led to believe that it's going to continue. Why should things change? But he says, oh, I trust in Hashem. He points out, and the only reason why he is so secure regarding his health, because deep down the emes is, because he believes and he thinks, he says, Ani bori b'chozik. Till now he says, I'm so healthy and strong. And according to nature, right, whatever the average lifespan is, I should be able to continue this way. So the truth is, such a person is the furthest away from bitochen. Vodam kazeh ha-reimayim, the truth he believes in his own koich. Bekoich ivoisim yodi, in the power of his hand. Ubekoich ha-teva, or in the koich of nature. Benimtzeh, so it comes out, your bitochen zeh nishrash b'kthira v'loi b'amuneh. Which is the opposite. The shayr is the root of this bitochen is kthira, is denial in Hashem. Not amuneh b'Hashem. Bekvar gilu lono b'alchoivis al-vovis. When we started this year, we learned this shtikla akdome. This is three lines of choivis al-vovis bring here. Chavis Lavov has already said the Agdom of Shar B'tochen Shkol Odom B'tivoy Nishan U'B'teach B'mashu. Chavis Lavov says this. It's human nature that a person is going to rely on something. You make the choice. Is it going to be on a human being or on a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Chavis Lavov says it's only natural. It's in human nature to want to be B'teach, to trust in something. Says the Chavis Lavov this. If it's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then you're going to place your trust B'zolosoi in something other than a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he points out, Kishtaim Rois Osa Ami, the Novi bemoans the fact that Yidden, who strayed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they did the two bad things. First of all, Oisi Ozvu Mikor Maim Chaim, they abandoned the true source of life, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they abandoned. But now they abandoned HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did you choose instead? That's the second novel. He says, Lach Tzoyv Lahem Bayroiz Bayroiz Neshbarim, they went to excavate for themselves and to dig for themselves the broken wells, which are not going to bring them any water and so on. And that what it means is, the efforts of another human being is only going to be futile, and therefore placing one trust, leaving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is one avala. And then placing your trust in another human being. This is Shtayim Rois Osa Ami. Yirmiyahu Novi says, the Chovev Savavza brings it. How does a person really know? How does a person really know why he seems to be so comfortable or so tranquil? Why is he feeling so free-spirited, not worrisome? How does he know if it comes from true bitachon or maybe something else? The answer is quite simple, he says. He says, the answer is, k'shiyirtzei ha'odom, he says, libochen es atzmoi, if a person wants to test himself. If you want to test yourself, really, if you really trust in Hashem, or you're really trusting on somebody else, or maybe in your own powers and your own strengths, yizbainein, you should really contemplate. If he loses his fortune, is he still a Baal Bitochen? Where's his Bitochen at that time? When things are not going his way, that's really the test. What is his matzav ruach? What is his situation? What is his connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu at that particular time? He doesn't have bread in the basket, but therefore he can feel comfortable whenever I want to go. You know, I can just take money out of the bank. I have it there. The person is a deathly ill. He says, does he really despair and lose hope completely? Or maybe while he is in a matzav of a tzora, but ulai he says meisim ikar b'tchoina, he says, or he says also, well, he says the same thing, person is sick, maybe he's meisim ikar b'tchoina b'sibis gashmi is k'may reifim v'yatsim v'dayim, he thinks that really the source of the issue will be all the various doctors, or she'av b'matzav zeh meisim b'tchoina b'shem yizbarach levad. When things are going your way, it's not a big chokhmah to feel or to think or to fool yourself you're baal b'tochen. Yeah, I'll give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the credit. Everybody says Baruch Hashem all the time, Baruch Hashem all the time. But when things are not so good, then the Baruch Hashem already is not, and even somebody say it out of habit many times, but the person's not that ready yet. He's not so firm in his belief. So here we come now to the words of the Chazanish, actually reiterating this. Morach Zoy Nizal, the Chazanish in a Sefer Muna Bitochen. Magdir in Yenzeh, he really categorizes this B'mesek L'Shoinoi very, very clearly. He says, Nekalias, he says, B'teach. It's very easy, he says, to be a B'teach, to be a Baal B'tochen. It's very easy, quite easy. B'shoah at a time, She'ein ikra tafkish B'tochen. When B'tochen really is not necessary to function so much, so to speak. When things are not really, when he does not find himself in a compromised situation, when things are going his way, he says, then he says, it's not so difficult to consider yourself to be a Baal B'tochen. However, says Chazonish, Achma Koshe, but yet how difficult it is B'teach B'shas Tafkido B'emes. But when B'tochen really is necessary to be used, when your situation where it's essential now to come to B'tochen, are you still there? Are you ready to adopt the Midah B'tochen? When B'tochen now has to come into play, but now is the Tafkid of using B'tochen. He says, Nekel is shoger b'piv. It's very easy that a person, it's out of habit, that his mouth really sounds off, u'bisfosa with his lips, es ha'bitochen, shu'la lochev le lemaise. When it's not negay lemaise, theoretically everybody is about bitochen, talks about bitochen. Yeah, bitochen b'Hashem. Certainly we use all these words. We say mirch Hashem, we say baruch Hashem. That's what we say, yeah. And it's very good we say that. Very good. Because we should be cognizant of where our goal should be, and really where our avodas Hashem should be. So he says it. He says it's very easy when it's only la loche, but loy lemaise. When it's only theoretical, but it's not the gay lemaise. He says, "Rakim misanegal demyonis mazhirim misamchim." And a person like has these illusions, you know, of all types of grand things. But a meroy vayomim, and therefore as time goes by, he really fools himself. Who matas atzma is fooling himself, and matas chem is fooling others as well. He thinks that he's higher above others in B'tochen. Others, in his mind, are not as great about B'tochen as he is. But he doesn't realize. The reason he thinks that's just about B'tochen because he's not in a situation where B'tochen really has to be used, has a mission, has a real sense of mission at this particular time. However, we turn the sheets, Rabbi Yisai number 4. Omnom b'zois yibochen, says Chazonish continues. But with this, he says, can be the test. This is really the litmus test in Pivoli B'Shom to say whether his mouth and his heart are in the same place. Yeah, with your mouth, you're Baal B'Tochen very easily. How do you find out? What is the test whether your heart and your mouth are in the same place? There's coordination. Him hu b'teich b'emes, or him lomad l'shoyinoy l'tzafse b'tochen b'tochen. Or maybe he just, out of habit, just he practiced to say it, and if it just comes instinctively, his mouth just chirps out, you know, b'tochen b'tochen all the time. U'belibo l'koinono, however, it never was absorbed in his heart. How do you find out? How does he know if it's true? What he's saying with his mouth?
Says Chazinish kasha nivgash b'mikra hadayrish b'tochem. When a person now is confronted in a situation where now you need b'tochem. Now are you able to reach out and use b'tochem in your life? Vashu b'shazu, when you find yourself in this type of a situation, tafkido shel b'tochem, now comes the mission of b'tochem really to help him, the nahaloi, to guide him, la'achlim ha'rafoisoi, is to restore him, to heal him, to put a chiyus in him, to blow life into him. Question is, in difficult times, does he have it? Ha'im b'sho ha'kosha halazu. Is it true in his own life? If he'll test himself, when he finds himself in a matzav of such difficulty, pona le'bitochen v'yiftach boy, does he really turn to bitochen? Or davki b'sho zu loy ponel, or davki when bitochen is needed, he doesn't have it. He had bitochen, was not needed. And davki when bitochen is needed, he doesn't have it. And therefore he reaches out, he says, to the arrogant ones and those that are in power, thinking that they are the ones who are going to help him, the false sources. To all, he says, of the false, all of the false various sources and pullers and actions which really are not at all, don't have the power really to help him. And therefore he should really turn himself to really to the one true source. So Bishurais Elu, with these words, Heir Lono Rabbeinu HaChazenish Zal, with these short words, the Chazenish really is arousing us on the Kudei Chashuv Emoid. And with Dabri Khan, realize Chazenish is talking about to most people, El Roiv Rubei B'nei Odom. And therefore, Min Haruy LeHosim Leiv, therefore we should pay attention in our own lives and test it out and check out ourselves. Im Einonu Gam Kein Chaz V'Sholem, whether we are not Chaz V'Sholem part of that group. Min Oysam Shalomdu L'Shoinam L'Tzavtze B'Tochem B'Tochem. Therefore, we should really make the proper chishbonis, the proper calculations, to realize what we should be doing and to work towards that end, to be able to rise up in the middle of bitochen. So now we go, Rabbi Yisai, to the Chovis Halvavis. In the general Chovis Halvavis, it's page Reish Chovov, we're in Peri Gimel, Shura Gimel. It's Omud Daf Reish Chovov, towards the top, the third line from the top. Beginning Avol. Alright? Beginning Avol. Toivas Hokeli Yisborach. Let me just point out, the Chozavov is here, is being Mamshech, is continuing, and trying to give you just some of the reasons why we find out that many times there are tzaddikim who suffer in this world, and yet that there are Rishoyim, there are evil people and wicked people that seem to prosper in this world. Chozavov says, what the actual reason is, only Hashem knows. But I'll give you some possible reasons, because it could be more than one. So which one actually applies to any particular evil person? He says, Hashem knows which one. But I'm just going to give you some enlightenment to realize, he said, what the possible reasons would be why you're going to find that Rishoyim and evil people might prosper on this world. And just to give a shtickle hagdome, that what you're going to find out, what the Chovis Avos is going to be telling us, one of the simple reasons is because maybe he might be a Rosha, but he may have done a lot of good also in the past. And by the way, I already pointed out, B'Shem the Chofetz Chaim, that even if you only did one mitzvah in your life, all the schar on this world cannot amount for payment and schar, even for one mitzvah. So you can be sure that even any Rosha, but certainly there are many, many mitzvahs that they have done as well, many mitzvahs, the Gemara tells us, Rishoyim are Malayim ki mitzvahs karimai, the Gemara tells us, the Rishoyim themselves, at the same time, they do good deeds here and there, and right, even one ome, this is tremendous. So all the schar in the world, so whatever you find, all the toiva that you find that a Rosh might have on this world, it still is not even enough to pay even for one mitzvah, and certainly he has done many more mitzvahs. So that's one possible reason, that's why he has all of this toiva, as we're going to see soon. Another reason is quite simple. This Rosh, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that he's going to have his son a tzaddik. And therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu might endow the Rosh with a lot of prosperity in order that he bequeaths it down the road to his offspring, who are tzaddikim. And so he becomes the channel. It goes through him. He becomes like the pipeline. So it stays by him temporarily, and he's going to bequeath it to subsequent generations. Thirdly, many, many times, wealth and prosperity are the downfall of a person. A person never knows where it's going to lead him, and what path it's going to take him,
And as a matter of fact, the wealth and his ashiras, his prosperity, might in fact be the source of his destruction. Oishir shomur lebolov lera'osoi, says Shlomo HaMelech. And so on, as it gives us more reasons. Let's just start out here. The Chovetz Chaim says as follows. Aval toivas hokel yizborach ala rosho. He says, the reason he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll find, many times you'll find that a rosho has toivas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him prosperity. He says, there are many possibilities. Yesh means sometimes. Yesh, sometimes. He says, Shetieh babur toivah shekod maloi. Because something good that he did in the past. So it's very possible that this Rosha did good in the past. And being that he did good in the past, so Mamela yigmeleu holekim oleo boilam azeh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him boilam azeh. And by the way, it's not a toivah for him. Because he loses his true reward in Olam Haba, in the next world. So he's become shortchanged. He thinks he got all that tremendous prosperity, all that wealth, all that ashiris, and all that good fortune, but did not realize the price that he's paying, and that in fact the posik says, Kimoshoma, our famous posik, Mishalem lesoinov el ponov lahavidoi. Because Baruch Hu will pay to the soinov, to those who are the enemies of Hashem, they'll also, because Baruch Hu pays the reward for everyone. Everyone gets reward. But in his case, in this particular Rosh's case, in the Rishoim's case, el ponov lahavidoi, it really destroys it. It's ruination for him. It's a ruination for him. As the Targum says, the Tirgum Uboy Horishoinim, we find that the Targum, matter of fact, Targum Unkulu says, this posik, interpretation of this posik, Umishalim Lissanoyu, this Aramaic, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays to his enemies, Tavavon, the Inun of Din, for the good that they have done. The enemies, right, the wicked people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays them. He pays them for the good that they have done, Kodomoyu in front of Hashem, the good they've done. He pays them b'chayehon le'ovdeyon. But in fact, this is really a ruination for them. It's a ruination for them because why? Because the Ischar Noilum Habo now has been taken away. So that's one reason. That's actually, right, so that's one reason. So again, so one reason he says why you find prosperity, and you'll find what appears to be good fortune, he says, by evil people, wicked people, it's reward for the good that they may have done in the past. That's number one. And yet, they are being shortchanged. It's not that good. Number two, v'yesh. And there's also a second possibility. The second possibility that you find, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you'll find, may give prosperity, he says, to a rosho, it shiti al derech hapikodin esloi, which means only a deposit by him. He's supposed to be a pipeline. He says it's supposed to be a pipeline, as he points out. It's only going to be remain by him until HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give him a son at tzaddik. He said, Yeroilo, and he is going to be worthy of this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore will use the father in this case, right, even though he's a Rosho, but really he's only going to be the route to transformation. He's going to be the transformation route, because Baruch Hu deposited by him that it should be bequeathed to the son of Tzaddik. We find the Posik about that. Posik says in Iyiv, brings out this thought. Yochin, Posik says there that the Rosho prepares the Tzaddik Yilbosh, and the Tzaddik himself would be the ones who want to wear it. So Yochin, so the Rosho in fact is preparing it for the Tzaddik. There's also another Posik which makes this point. Bomar, Koyela says, it's a fascinating posik. The Mitzvah explains the posik as follows, and we understand what the Chazal Vav is trying to say. HaKadosh Baruch Hu many times puts and plants into the mind of a sinner a desire to make a fortune, only to take it away from him and give it to a tzaddik. So this Rosha, this wicked person, got involved in various, let's say, business deals. HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted this idea that he should do all of this, but he doesn't realize it's to pass it on further. The Pasuk says again, V'lachoyte, to the sinner, Nosan Inyan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu plants an idea into the mind of a sinner, Le'esoiv, to collect, V'lichnois, to gather and bring home, Loseis, L'toiv, L'fnelikim, only to give to those who are good and from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, that's another thing. And the Chavis Olav says, I can go on and on, he says. He says, why you find again prosperity by Rishoyim? The Epsher. And on the other hand, how do you know it's good at all? Maybe this is going to be the source of his downfall and his misfortune. How do you know where it's going to lead him? What kind of behavior? What kind of practices? Maybe he'll break up his marriage. Maybe he'll do things. The Epsher Shetia Hasiba Hagdoilo. Maybe this in fact will be the biggest reason of all reasons. Shebesibois Moise Berosoi. It may cause him his death and call him all the misfortune. Kumashikosov, as it says in Koheles, Oisher,
Shomer lebol of l'rosoi, because Baruch Hu gave him all of this ashiras, but it's only been preserved by him l'rosoi, to turn out to be bad, and turn out to be just the opposite of good. So you don't even know really if it's good altogether. A person stands from the fire, and he thinks that this person is being so matzliach, and sees all the yeshiras, in his eyes it's good fortune, but nobody knows really, in fact, what is this? He's being set up. He's being trapped by all of this. It's Oysha Shomer Lebol Averosa. Goes on, he says, V'efshir. And then he says, furthermore, V'efshir, and he says, furthermore, and this, by the way, this is the another reason. He says, V'efshir Shetia, he says, Leharich Haboire Yisaleloi. It could be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give him an extended opportunity. Achi Yoshuv V'yeroyalo. It's possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the end result of a person's life. And it's possible HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that this Rosh in fact is going to do tshuva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore withholds the wrath for the present time, which although now he's a Rosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu withholds the wrath and gives him the opportunity of waiting time, that ultimately he'll be able to do tshuva. So therefore this Ashiris is all based upon what's going to come out at the end of this person's, as he says, Achi Yoshu until the Shuva via Royalo, and then of course he's going to be worthy of receiving it. Kamoisha Yadato Meinya Menashe. As we find out the same thing by Menashe. Menashe did a lot of bad things. Menashe was of course the son of Chizkiyah Melech Yehuda. Menashe was a wicked king, was a Rosh, as it's mentioned in Tanakh. By the end, Menashe was Choyzer B'Tshuva. Menashe was Choyzer B'Tshuva, as it brought down in Divrei Yomim. So he could have the greatest Rosh of all time, and at the end of the day, he did Tshuva. Because Rav Avi says, so how do you know this Rosh that you're looking at him with all these things? Because Rav possibly knows, maybe in this particular case, maybe he will be doing Tshuva, because Rav knows it. And therefore this is being held for that time. And then he says, could be other reasons. Again, there are endless reasons, countless reasons, why you might find out, you'll see that Rishoyim prosper. The Yeshi says, Shetir. It's also very possible that a person could have Hatzlocha. Listen to this. The Yeshitiyah says, Lechesed Shekodam Oviv. It's a fascinating thing. There's something called Chus Ovis. It means you could have a Rosh, but let's say you had a father at Tzaddik. And the father at Tzaddik did, of course, a lot of good things. In Chus of having a father at Tzaddik, so some of the Hashpois Toivis, some of the benevolence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, directed to the Tzaddik, will spill over to the offspring of that Tzaddik as well. As he points out, it's very possible that this is Lechesed Shekodam Oviv. Maybe the reason that the Rosh is being Matzliach because his father in the past did a lot of Chesed, and therefore in Schus of the father, the son also is able to draw. Where do we find such a concept? So he points out quite clearly. We find the same thing in Tanakh and Melachim, we find it Leyehu Ben Nimshi. We find is that Yehu Ben Nimshi, Yehu, says the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, that Yehu himself was a tzaddik, was a righteous king. Yehu. However, we find out that from his children, generations of his children, kings, they were Rishoyim. And what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, Yehu, that B'nai Revi'im, he said B'nai Revi'im, which means four generations, B'nai Revi'im, four generations of your descendants, Yeshvu Lecho al Kisei Yisrael, will sit on your throne. What we see over here is that in fact, that even though these four kings that the Pasuk is talking about, right, were Rishoyim. They were Rishoyim, and he went in the Derechas and Tanakh, they followed in the paths of Yerovam ben Nevat. So they were Rishoyim. Nevertheless, Hashem gave them Malucha. Why would he give them Malucha? In Schus of Yehu. Yehu, by the way, he destroyed the house of Achav. So Memela, in schus of the father, four generations became king, sat on his throne. Pasuk says again, Pasuk says, B'nei Rivim. Pasuk says, B'nei Rivim, Yeshu Lecho al Kisei Yisrael. So you see clearly the Pasuk points this out. V'omar, then there's another Pasuk in Mishle. Pasuk in Mishle says, Mishalach B'tumoy Tzadik, if a Tzadik walks B'tmimis, if a Tzadik walks with Tmimis completely in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's ways, Ashrei Bonav Achrav, his sons also will be able to rejoice, meaning they also will benefit from that. They will benefit from that. Boma, we find also in Tehillim. Now, Yisid of Lamelo says, I was young, Gamzakanti, and I also became old. Floreisi Tzadik Nezov, Vizaroi Mevakesh Lochim. Notice if there's a Tzadik, he says, then his Zaroi will also not have to seek
and look for bread. Begins chus of the tzaddik. So we find that also. I want to mention then the same way that the Chovis Avovis tells us that you could have a Rosha and yet he's able to benefit. It doesn't happen all the time though, by the way. This is sometimes it happens. Kadosh Baruch Hu has this cheshbonus when it does, when it doesn't. Doesn't mean every time you have a tzaddik, the Rosh is going to be matzliach. Doesn't mean that. But if you find Rosh Hashanah matzliach, one of the possibilities might be because of the chesed that his father did in the past. So Kadosh Baruch Hu therefore repays the tzaddik, and it spills over also that his offspring can benefit from that. We find that regarding Avraham Avinu and Terach, right, we find Avraham Avinu and Terach. Terach in history was known to be a Rosh and Oved Avodah Zarah. One of the chazals which Rashi brings down is that Terach did tshuva. But that's not an agreement of every chazal or every medrash. According to other opinions, Terach was a Rosh to the end of his days. He dies a Rosh. And what does the Pasuk say? Pasuk says when Avraham Avinu's time to leave this world, because Baruch Hu says, Va'ato, he says, Tovoi Elavoisecho, right? You're going to cover and you're going to be buried, and you're going to come, Elavoisecho Bisholim. You're going to become, and you're going to go back, right, together and connect with your Ovois, means with your father, Bisholim in peace. So the Ramban over there, what do you mean? Avraham Avinu is going to now, after he passes on, he's going to connect with his father in peace. Terach is going to be in Gehenna, would he not? So where's Avraham Avinu going to meet up with his father? So one Ramban says, well, we know there's an opinion, Terach did tshuva. Okay, if he did tshuva, then we have no problem. So Terach is also in Gan Eden. Avraham Avinu now is going to meet his father. Right? He's going to go together in Mavisecho B'Sholem. But then the Ramban says, and according to those opinions, that what? That Terach did not do tshuva, but he had a son, a tzaddik Avraham, and a father is able to benefit a chelik in Olam Haba because of having a son, a tzaddik. After all, you brought this tzaddik into the world, so you also have a share. He's part of you, he's an extension of you. So we see that the opposite is also true, that a father is able to reap some schar in schus of the son. Here we're seeing the chovis of others in the other direction, that a tzaddik is able to bestow, right? Even if he has a ben erosha, that the erosha is able to be in a henna from that, is able to benefit from that. In Ramban we see the opposite. Ramban we see the opposite. Terach has a son Avraham, in schus of Avraham, so Terach also has a certain amount of atzlocha. Chazavovitz goes further and he says, the yesh, and also, a very interesting reason, this next reason he says, you know why sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu might give prosperity, he says, to Rishoyim? Because there are people outside, he says, that there are people who are tzaddikim only on the outside. They pose as tzaddikim. Now you can forge money, you can counterfeit bills, people can also forge tzitzkis. And people can play a role of tzitzkis, but deep down they're very, very far. In the eyes of people, in the eyes of the public, they pose as tzaddikim. But in fact, you know, they are what is called tzivuim. Gefarbte dimension, colored people. Not what we say color today. But tzivuim, that's an old Lashon. They're tzivuim. No, so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wants to test people, to let your true colors come out, as you say. Are you real tzaddik? What's going to be the test? The test is as follows. That v'yesh, that many times a Kodesh Baruch Hu might give prosperity to a Rosha, she'tiyeh l'naso is to test anshei hatarmis, the deceptive people. V'amatzpunim aroim, people who are inwardly evil. Matzpunim means inside. Tzofun, hidden. People are inwardly evil. G'shem roim zemem harim losur mavoides habayre. He says, when they see that a Rosh is matzliach, so he says to himself, so what I have to be frum for? He says, I see a Rosh is matzliach, so right away he says, I'm going to connect up with that Rosh. And now I'm going to be part of the company. I'm going to keep company with that Rosh. He says, Kishem Rayim Zem Maharim Losum Abedis Abay, when they see their prosperity, that flock of the Rosh, so they very quickly, they right away abandon the Abedis Abay, Revichoshim, and they hasten very quickly, Lehisratso is to win favor, Lancha, Resha, Vilim, and Maseim, and to learn from the Maizim, to learn from their deeds. So thereby now, it'll become clear who are the real Oyvei Hashem, who are the real people who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and those that were fake. He says, V'yizbarer hanovar lelikim, the man who is pure will be identified, and at the same time also, V'yeroy hanemon bavadosoy, and the loyal person will also, who is loyal in Avodas Hashem, will become recognized. How will he become recognized? He says, B'sivloy, because he is able to forbear. Ace is Shalton boy when he sees that the Rishoyim have the upper hand, they rule over him. Many times they embarrass him. And he'll receive extra reward. The tzaddik was able to hold his ground, despite the fact seeing that the Rosh is matzliach, seeing that the Rosh has prosperity, it does not shake his faith, it does not shake his betochen. This will enhance his schar, because now he has been challenged, and yet he's able to stand firm. The greater the nesoyin, the greater the challenge, and to keep firm, your schar and olam habo is much, all that much greater. K'mashirdat, as we find out, similarly, me'inyan Eliyahu imezevel, Eliyahu, together with Izevel and Yirmiyahu in Malchei Doiroi, we find the same thing, that they also had Radifis, that they were ruled, that they were nirdav, they were pursued by Rishoyim, and of course Yirmiyahu remained the tzaddik all the time, and the same time Eliyahu Hanavi, of course Eliyahu remained the tzaddik. So these are the situations, some of the reasons that he points out, that we find, where you find that Rosh Vetoivloi. The exact reason, any particular given Rosh that you might point out, only Kodesh Baruch knows which of any of these reasons apply. And there could be more reasons. But he just wants to scratch the tip of the iceberg just to realize that there's so many things that work behind the scenes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls behind the strings, which we are not able to see with our own eyes in the open, but yet behind the scenes there are many, many reasons that are happening. Let me just conclude. You know that there is a organization called Vaad LaHatzolas Nitchei Yisrael, which works in Russia. We're very, very successful in the last years of putting up really shuls and Jewish schools, girls' schools, boys' schools, in places that really, which were devoid of any Yiddishkeit at all. And amazing things have been done over there to turn around, really turn around people that so many years, of course, that have lived in communism. You see a new generation now. A new generation really have yeshivas and Talmid Chachomim. It's an amazing thing. I was given a Kovitz, a periodical of Divrei Torah from some of the Talmidim in yeshiva, which you see learning Be'iyun. And it's amazing to see the strides that they made in very serious learning. Places called Kuba, places called Tbilisi, and so on and so forth. So they make a pilgrimage to Russia there about once a year, sometimes December, January time, Hanukkah time, and so on and so on. As a matter of fact, I had a delegation this year to if I'm willing to go to Russia, which was you give them chizuk. They have 15, 20 people going along and speaking to the people. They bring a few rabbonim to speak to them and to give them chizuk to see that they are not forgotten. And also they bring a nice big heavy checkbook along, which after all the drushes, this is very important, and so on and so forth. And Baruch Hashem, tremendously matzliach. I had no cheshi to go simply because of the time constraints leaving from here. But it's very interesting to say is, so this Vaad LaHatzolas Nitchei Yisrael that they send from time to time, as they said, send rabbonim, they send teachers. I'm talking about it started out in Moscow. It's been many years. For about, sometimes it's a week at a time, sometimes it's 2 weeks at a time, to teach and to guide the growing number of Soviet Jews that are thirsting, literally thirsting. It's amazing how they sit open-mouthed, listening to Divrei Torah, of course, on their level. And it's making tremendous, tremendous impact on them in many, many ways. It used to be done in secrecy. And otherwise the Russian authorities would confiscate the Chumashim and Sidurim. I remember once crossing, not I was not in Moscow, but one of those communist areas. I had Sefer with me, Sefer too. And right there at the border, they asked me what kind of a Sefer it was. It's a Sefer. They literally wrote down on a piece of paper, on a chart, how many Sfarim that I'm bringing in, to make sure that when I come out, I have the same two. They're not going to recognize it, but at least the number should be the same. So I bring in two Sfarim. Are you coming back with two? You have to show them two Sfarim to make sure, Chaz v'Shalom, that you left the Sefer among any of the Jewish people over there. That's how strict it used to be. A primary leader of observant Jews was a famous person by the name of Rabbi Yo Esas, very famous of Yuznik and so on, very courageous. He himself became a teacher and a mentor, mamish of hundreds, literally of hundreds of newly observant Russian Jews. I'm going to mention to you that there is a Rabbi Chill, there's a number of them. There's a Rabbi Chill in Muncie, New York, Michal Chill. And he was invited to come on one of these missions to go to Moscow and to serve as a temporary rabbi for a few weeks there. Shortly after his arrival, so he meets there Mamish, a brilliant young student. His name was Moshe. He had a sharp, inquisitive mind, learned very, very quickly. He spent a long time with him. Rabbi Chill spent a long time discussing all different types of what religion is all about. He wanted to know and to teach him. And he longed to learn everything that there is in the very short time that he's able to do that. And they developed a mutual admiration one with the other. And they made up, when the time came to leave, Rabbi Chil made up with him. He said to him, if you ever come to America, he says, don't forget to call on me, and we'll be able to continue, and I'll be able to help you out any way I can. So the Maisa, they never knew if they'll ever meet at all, ever again. But he just made him this offer. He said, if you ever come to America, he says, just give me a ring. It turns out that one afternoon, 6 months later, after Rabbi Chil had come back, he receives a call. He says, it's me, it's Moshe. Is that Moshe? The sharp student. And he says that, where are you calling from? So he says, I'm calling, he says, from Cornell University in a place, Ithaca, New York. Ithaca, New York, he says, and he sounded sort of like troubled and concerned. He says, he was able to get an exit visa. He says, now he's enrolled as an exchange student, he says. So he said, but I have no kosher food, he says, and I have no Torah books, he says. I have nothing to learn from. So he says, the border police, Mamish, he said, the border police in Russia took away his tefillin. Is there any way you can help me? On the phone call, he says to Rabbi Chil. Chil tried to explain to him, he says that, first of all, he said that the system, he says, of kosher food in America, he says, with the various hashgachas, he says, but he figured out this is something which is very foreign from Moshe, because Moshe knows either it's kosher, it's not kosher, that there's different levels of hashgachas. So he says to him, listen, he says, stay where you are. He said, I'll be up there in a few hours, he says to him. Rabbi Chil had a friend, his name was Rabbi Goodman. Immediately they went, first of all, they bought a new pair of tefillin, and they procured a sitter with Russian translation and other Torah literature and so on. So Moshe would be able to learn. They brought enough kosher food, bread, drinks, mamish, to last a month. And they make the trip, it's a 4-hour trip from Muncie. It's in northwest New York State. That's what it is. Northwest part of New York State. A 4-hour trip from Muncie. He went a 4-hour trip. The atmosphere of the Cornell campus was a very festive one because examination had just been completed. You don't know how the Gentiles celebrate. Of course, he was in his room there just looking out. He had no feeling and no reason to celebrate with them. And he just waited for his visitors, you know, just with anticipation, just waiting and waiting, waiting. And it turns out, finally, he says that Rabbi Chil arrives. He walks into this Moshe's dormitory, and he brings them everything that he brought him. And, of course, right away, he was very amazed. He said that all the stuff that he brought him, really, he said something could last him really for a month. He becomes mamish alive again, and he becomes upbeat and uplifted. They lift his spirits, and they gave him hope. And he would never forget that evening. He says, and the generosity, of course. You may realize that they for 2 hours, actually, it's 4 hours, and it's 4 hours back. Was there, and by the way, Rabbi Chil was a Rebbe. He was a Rebbe in Washington Heights, in the high school by Breuers, and he still had to be back next morning. So he realized driving 8 hours, and then catching a few, just whatever was left to sleep, coming home at night, and then to go back to school to be able to teach. Next morning, Rabbi Chil stands before the class. He says to the students, he says, boys, he says, in case if I appear to be a little bit tired, he says, I would like you to understand I had a very long night, he says, last night. And he says, so, he said in jest, please be easy on me, he says to the students. Nope. He says, he goes on to detail, talking about this Moshe and so on and so forth, that he met him in Moscow and so on and so forth, and that's why he was so exhausted, because now he's here. And he made this 8-hour trip. Okay, everybody said, this is one part. A year later, you fast forward. A year later, on a Sunday morning, there was a 12th grader, last name Strauss. Boy named Strauss, last name Strauss, who had been in Rabbi Chil's class the previous year. He comes running into the classroom to Rabbi Chil and says, Rabbi, you won't believe what happened in our neighborhood. That was Englewood, New Jersey, he says. He says, the past Shabbos. I can believe what happened. He says, and he tells the following story. This boy, Strauss. He says, my father and I come to shul, he says, in Englewood, and we notice someone who looked like he might need a place to eat. Father invited him to be with us, and he accepted, and he said that he's a Baal Tshuva. Matter of fact, he said he's a Baal Tshuva. He says he doesn't know too much of Yiddishkeit, but he's beginning to learn. And my father asked him, there's a story about him, how he became a Baal Tshuva. He said, yeah. He says, I was a student, he says, in Cornell University together with somebody called Moshe. And I saw how two rabbis made a 4-hour trip this way and a 4-hour trip back
to someone who is not related to them, someone who I just met not so long ago, bringing him tefillin, bringing him kosher food. And I saw, he says, the tremendous love and respect that I've never seen before. I wanted to find out what is there in a religion that is able to do, to show so much concern that people can have, to go so much out of the way in order to help someone, a fellow Jew. I began looking into, he said, what Judaism was all about. He said, and that was the road that led him to the road of his observance. So this boy Strauss, he says, Rebbe says, you may not have realized that, he said, but your kindness turns out not only helped Moshe, but the reason, he says, why his roommate became a Baal Tshuva. But you know what? He says, they were only roommates, he said, for 2 weeks. Had this happened 2 weeks later, no Baal Tshuva. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. So that is Hashem. This is the shtickle Eitzah. To see to ourselves a little bit narrow of bitachon, and as the Chovas Avavis tells us, that we learn to do that, then Bez Hashem will have more success in our own lives as well.